The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi, guys.
Oh, hello, darling. How are you?
Hi, Jay.
Wow, that music's just playing forever and ever, isn't
it? I like it. It makes me so happy.
It does make me happy. You know, it was a really hard choice, guys, when we were choosing our theme music, what sort of, you know, look we wanted to go for, whether it was going to be very modern, whether it was going to be very urban, whether, you know, we were going to be princesses. And 50s housewife just seemed like the right direction to go.
It's the perfect fit for us.
Because ultimately, that's us.
Yep.
Okay, so we have to start this podcast with really exciting news. I don't know if you guys saw the Twitter coverage at Johnny G. Weir, at Tara Lipinski, at Tara and Johnny, at NBC Sports, at Jason Groman, at all the things. But we are podcast champions now.
We won.
We won the Synopsis Media Award for Best Podcast. And just to set the story for you, they narrowed it down to about three podcasts from actually like 5,500 podcasts.
It was and like we were Bill in the top Simmons three. And yeah. New York Times were the finalists, which those are huge podcasts. I don't
and
know
us.
How we won.
Well, you know, we have quadrillions of people that listen.
Oh, my
and
goodness. So
I don't know if those numbers go into choosing the best one, but we really do have quite a fun little dog and pony show over here. But yeah, should we do acceptance speeches?
We probably should. I mean, can you imagine me and you doing an acceptance speech together? That is something I want to do in our day.
Well, we will. We'll have an Emmy one day, but
why
don't we just do separate ones?
Thank you.
Thank you. Wait, why don't you give me your acceptance speech? Like, who are you going to thank? Just keep it brief, though, so they don't start playing the music.
Okay, so first off, I want to thank Johnny, because without Johnny, I couldn't do this. I'd like to thank my husband, Todd Kapp, and my mom.
Oh, my goodness.
Got to work on that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, all right, I'm going to do mine. Oh my God, thank you so much. We work so hard and we've trained our whole lives to be podcast champion.
We've sacrificed
We have
so
to
much.
Thank everyone who is a part of our team and supports us. Westwood One, Kelly Hurley, NBC Sports, NBC Proper, you know, the Rockefeller Center, the City of New York, my mother, father, my dog, Tioma, you know, wine, of course, played a huge part in our podcast victory, and we're so thankful, and we're going to win for the rest of our lives.
Johnny,
so
you
back
didn't even
the F
thank
up.
Me.
Well, I wouldn't. You're part of the team.
Ugh, I mean, I like a shout out.
And Tara Kapistashi for her valued role in our victory. You know, she's actually the one that stuffed the ballot boxes. So we definitely wouldn't have won without her.
Oh, man.
But seriously, if Synopsis Media actually listens, we're so thankful. And to all of our listeners and our whole team, it's really an honor to bring back the gold to our studios. I think
walked
the actual
in today
award
feeling
though is
like a champ.
I think the actual award's nice and clear though. It's just a clear
it
piece
is.
Of
it's like it's pretty
lucite.
I don't know.
It's pretty.
A nice little
yeah,
curve
Tara and Johnny.
To it, and it's nice.
What's fun though is that when you go to NBC Sports up in Stamford, they have this huge trophy box. Trophy, not coffin, cabinet. A huge trophy cabinet as soon as you walk in. And it's just, you know, filled to the brim with proper Emmys. And I'm going to be really disappointed.
Should we request if our award can be displayed in there? I'd also like some nice lighting on it.
Yeah.
For it to really
also
pop.
Maybe with a small photo of us and a candle that never goes out.
Yes.
Like the Olympic flame.
Yes.
I was so excited when we won. Like they, Synopsis Media Awards, they were trying and our whole team was trying to get us to shoot like a small acceptance video.
And we're like, we're not going to win, guys.
And also it's bad luck if we do win. We're not going to jinx it by pre-recording a thank you because we are busy people and we couldn't be in New York for the actual ceremony. And yeah, we wouldn't do it. And we were just like, well, there's no way we're going to beat the New York Times.
Yeah,
or Bill
not
Simmons.
Happening.
It's not happening. And then we won. And I think all they had to do was post one of our pictures up there. Thanks, guys.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks.
Well, anyway,
but anyway,
that was
we're
very
super
exciting
excited.
For us.
Anyway, new content. But now, you know, it gives us a leg up. I mean, we we're winners.
We have to, you know, though, keep doing a great job, though, Johnny, because
we will.
You know, we have to please the listeners.
Yeah, and I mean, that's our ultimate goal. And, you know, no matter how big this podcast gets, even if we get up to like whatever a 10 illion of something is of listeners, we'll always just, we'll be here for you. We'll be with you.
Speaking of listeners versus viewers, I always like go to stumble when I'm talking about it because I always go to say viewers because that's usually our thing.
Yeah.
But I do feel like today Todd's like, where are you going? And like, I was like, oh, I'm off to the podcast. And I feel oddly like I have a pep in my step. I like love coming to the podcast, even though I'm just speaking to you as if it's a phone call. I do feel like people are listening, and I know they're not listening for like another 2 days, but I feel like I'm talking to a group of friends that are just, you know, on mute, like they can't speak back. But I do get this great joy out of it. I really do. I'd like be sad. I feel like if the podcast ended, even though I've never seen our listeners face to face, I would be devastated by, you know, the end of all of our relationships.
I know. I mean, it would be terribly, terribly sad. I mean, before we even got on today, guys, it's like, are you stressed today? She can hear it in my voice. And I am. I'm kind of, okay, so full disclosure, I was mildly hungover yesterday, and I still got my day done, but it just was not a good day. And then today, I realized, wow, Johnny, you are effed because you have so much stuff coming up. You have so much work, and you wasted a day being like mildly hungover from, you know, a couple glasses of wine on a Sunday after an exhausting Friday and Saturday, which we'll get into. But I've got performances coming up. We have work. We're traveling. The holidays are upon us. Like, there's just so much coming up, and I felt like a degenerate. So taking a break. I think I'm going to try and be that guy that tries to have a dry holiday season.
Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah, I know, but
I hate when you make these dumb declarations. Okay? I'm tired of it.
No, Tara, I'm not going to go drink with you. I have to pack.
I hate that. There's nothing worse, guys, than like in Sochi or in Rio. Like, we'd have a great day. We worked hard all day. Whether it was like we had an amazing night commentating, and it's like you just want to go down. Like, you come in, you feel like you haven't been outside, you haven't seen the world, you've been stuck in like TV land. You just want to get a drink, whatever. You want to celebrate. No. I gotta pack.
No,
you know,
I'm
like
so sorry,
I know that
I have
we just
pack.
Did a great job, but I'm sorry. I'm gonna pack because I leave in 2 days, and then I need to go to the airport at least 16 hours early. So I don't think I could do that glass of wine. Half a glass, Johnny? No. I can't.
No. Why even start?
I've got to go back upstairs and pull out the Ramoas.
I really have to like really like do a deep scrub on my undercarriage. I can't possibly.
I hate it. Usually I can convince you otherwise, though. So,
yeah, but I like it when people travel with us because then I can sort of pawn you off on them. I'm like, oh, well, Laura, take care
no,
of Tara. I know.
So anyway, you're not going dry for the holiday season. Sorry to break it to you.
I mean, we'll see how we do. That'll all end by, because I always get ashamed, even if I'm not like one of those, I'm not a disastrous drunk person. I think I get really loose with my language and I'm overly nice to people and familiar. But I definitely try to keep my druthers about me. So anyway, even if I think it's just come from all the years of skating and having to be so straight laced and do things by the book and rest and take care of your body and blah, 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 that whenever I do sort of tie one on and get tipsy, I am ashamed of it for days because I feel like I've definitely killed my chances of Olympic glory. However, Johnny, you don't compete in the Olympics anymore.
Right. Like that's Todd always says that to me because I have the same thing. It must be a skating thing. But if
you just feel ashamed for doing normal things
in a row, I just feel horrible and like terrible. And then like, so last night I hadn't had wine in a couple days and I was like, Todd, should we have wine with our dinner? And he's like, oh, you think I'm good? And I was like, he's like, I'll get you one. I was like, no. And then he's like, because
well,
then
Todd
I get
likes
completely
to play games with you too.
Offended though, because I'm like, that's only adding to the shame that I want a glass of wine. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm good. Don't say it
oh, the
so
cheese
nonchalantly
stands alone.
Like that. Like, don't just throw it out there that you're good. Like, so he was laughing so hard at me last night because I actually get pouty. I'm like, no, I don't want one.
Yeah, and you
and
can
he's
pout
like,
really easy.
We'll
you
have,
turn
we'll
it on.
Have, well, I'll have one. I'm like, no, I don't want one. No.
No, I'm good. I'm solid, good. Tara.
Like I said, well, I don't need wine. Do you?
Well, why don't we just go to a restaurant? Why don't we just go to a BYOB then, Todd Kapp, and just not bring, not BYO, whatever. Don't bring our own beer or booze, whatever.
Oh, man. So anyway, I had a glass of wine, but it wasn't enjoyable because of the incident.
Meanwhile, he's sitting there with just a small... cask.
No, what's funny is I watched him. Milk. If he listens to this, he's gonna laugh because I didn't say anything last night. But he had like three glasses.
Yeah, but he's like a 13-foot tall man. That doesn't do anything for him. That's
no,
like
he never gets drunk, which is so annoying. Like
so
I'm always
annoying,
like,
especially
let's
when we're
Uber
all together
somewhere, and because I'm like waiting for the night that like he'll drink and actually get drunk. I've never seen Todd Kapp at all tipsy. Is that crazy?
Likewise.
I feel
it's
like
insane.
Most people see their significant other at some point in their lives tipsy.
Just
I mean,
fall down crusty drunk.
He sees it every weekend.
But yeah, I mean, I'm sure we've talked about this before, but Todd Kapp tried really, he eggs us on, especially when we're together. He's like, Johnny, here, I ordered you another glass. Get wasted.
Yep.
And
he
sits
loves
there
watching us. He does. He always says, though, that we're like the best kind of tipsy people, though. Like we're just happy.
Nice, and we love people.
And silly, yeah, and laughing, and, you know, we put on a good show. Anyway,
but then the next day he has to deal with a full downward spiral of shame. Shame.
Shame.
Shame. Okay,
walk
so
through those streets.
Moving on from that, guys, we went to Denver, and you probably didn't see our coverage, but let's go through the whole journey of the trip.
Oh, man. This
and just sort of lay it out.
Was, so, guys, I was so excited because usually I fly to New York, which is like a 6-hour flight back and forth. This was 2 hours, and it felt like 15 minutes after like what I do. So I was like so excited to go to Denver. It meant I was actually getting home at a decent hour on Saturday. You know, I just don't like literally every weekend, Johnny, when I'm doing that, I always think about this. On that plane with the time changes, I like lose at least a half a day to a full day. It's like
of
all of a sudden,
life.
Yeah, I'm like, it's gone. But anyway, I was so excited. Then they sent over the schedule of what we would be doing. And
yeah,
holy cow, it was so difficult. I don't know about you, John. Like, you handled it better. Like, it was very difficult
for
me.
It was such
me
a good stuttery, angry sentence you
yeah
just did.
I can't nap. So there was, you know, I was up for like 32 hours straight.
I was up for 36. I'm right there with you. So basically, guys, we always work in Stamford. And despite Tara having to fly cross country for every time, there is sort of a system to it. And it's pretty consistent the way we do things. And we don't actually call the events live. We usually watch over a satellite or we watch the already pre-edited version of the show, and then we commentate it. So we have to keep ourselves from watching the event before we actually commentate. So we do try and keep it live, mm-hmm, in that sort of weird way. But anyway, for Denver, and none of our producers were able to tell us why we were in Denver, but we were there for some reason. And we called the ladies and the men from Japan, which obviously is an outrageous time difference, live. And we were calling it for the Olympic Channel to start. So that is a solid 3 a.m. Eastern time for me that we even started commentating. So I flew at like 7 o'clock at night from Philadelphia to Denver, got off the plane, got to the studio. We sort of tucked in. We voiced over some little pieces. We had our production meeting. And then we were just up. And we worked through the night. And I didn't sleep until I got home the next night. So we both had full days.
Full.
And Tara can't nap.
I
and
can't.
Tara went
I was
early
like delirious. But we got through it. It actually was a good broadcast. It was, I felt like it was.
I called
surprisingly
someone a mop.
But the best part is like we get the giggles. Like I got the giggles so hard. And guys, it was on West Side Story. When it started,
there was
going,
a very young
Maria
Japanese skater. Excuse.
Like
but it was like
I have no idea why that made me laugh so hard. But the whole Maria section killed me. And
she lost her ish, to be completely
like,
honest. I mean, she was just out.
I wasn't even silently shaking with my hand on the cough button. I was worried because I was making like sounds.
She was audibly. Like, she was audibly laughing.
Yeah.
And guys, we never, like, we've been there with the skaters. And while there are some things that, you know, are funny, and as skaters, you can see like a fall or a little misstep. And as a skater, you know that you would have laughed at yourself had that happened to you. But we never laugh at the skaters. We laugh at situations or words that the two of us will say, or body language
right.
between the two of us.
Or just, you know, if Maria tickles
more Maria comes
bone.
On.
Well,
I mean, this poor... This kid, he was like 21 years old, little guy, Japanese. We'd never commentated or really seen him before. So it was the first time we were commentating for him. And he, you know, was having a bit of a rough time. And then
Maria.
And it was like the big man's voice that came in. And, you know, he was just a little guy. So it just seemed really
so
inappropriate.
Then
Tara
you called someone a mop.
I called someone a mop. And I had a perfectly good reason. So this guy, his name's Nam Nguyen. And he skates for Canada. And he's been around for a while now. But he has a very stiff body, but very unstiff hands and feet in the way he skates. And I was trying to think mentally of a nice way of explaining that to the audience in a way that they could really picture it. So I thought, okay, what is equal parts firm and wiggly? And I thought, oh God, a mop. It's a hard stick, and then this, you know, brushy wiggliness on the bottom. That's perfect. But because we were so tired, I started to go in with this analogy, and I said, well, he skates like a mop. And I lost my ish.
Like,
I had to hit
completely.
The cough button. So then 5 minutes later, there I am explaining my, you know, derelict mop analogy.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was a
we
fun broadcast
good,
for us.
We had some good, like, one-liners.
Oh, we did really well. But there was a lot of laughing, and we were in a weird studio. So usually we're in a voiceover booth. And this studio we were in, it was pretty much an airplane hangar with a small conference desk that we sat at and watched on a big screen. So it wasn't as soundproof as what we usually deal with. And there's Tara, like, like next to me, and I'm trying to move me and my microphone real far away so that we can't hear that. But in this echoey room, you could hear everything.
Oh my
and poor
goodness.
Andrea Joyce. I mean, we try to be professional, but she's been around in the business for a long time and has worked with consummate
she
professionals.
She started laughing, though, too. Did you notice she had to roll her chair away at one point?
Yes.
And she's like, I just had to face the other wall.
Well, I mean, Andrea fills in for Terrence when Terrence is working golf or doing some other BS that we're not involved with.
Guys, I mean, we started at like 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and that was like a long go of it.
But meanwhile, like, Tara started halfway through our evening. She was like, well, I hope my pony and wagon get here on time to get me to the airport, because she had literally 30 minutes to get back to the airport to get on her plane. And I ended up having hours, honey. I didn't even realize it. So I sat at that studio for about 2 hours doing nothing but waiting on a car to take me to the airport.
No.
And you know that tired, exhausted feeling when it feels like you have carpet on your eyeballs?
Yeah.
It was very much like that. It was very... torturous.
Because it was almost, I was almost overtired, I feel like. When I got on the plane, I was like, okay, I'm going to sleep. And I just couldn't. And
same.
I was so uncomfortable. I had my, like, antsy leg syndrome going on. I was, I was flopping to either side, trying to, like, fall. It was horrible.
Yeah. I mean, it was a rough one. I had some interesting plane interactions. Well, not they were interesting to me, because usually I am so unapproachable when it comes to my airport attire and travel. Like, I'll wrap myself up and look like a pure Wookiee just so I don't have to, like, get in there. Because some people are talkative travelers, and I travel so much that I just am not. I'm not a conversationalist. I just want to sit down, watch Downton Abbey, and relax. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have a conversation. I don't care what sort of conference you're going to. Like, let's put the partition down and not speak.
Yeah.
So my scarves and hats are usually my partition, because it's pretty mobile. I can't just carry around a large bubble of plexiglass through the airport. And, you know, I'm not so famous that people always recognize me, but there are enough people that know who we are. And you go, it can be awkward in an airport or at a restaurant when you're drunk. Anyway, so... at the airport in Philly on the way out, and I knew it was going to be a long day, and you know how mommy just gets real, real agitated when she knows that she's just going to be miserable for a day? And, you know, I was not in a good mood, and sat in traffic the whole way to the airport, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I got on the plane, and there was a woman, and I really try and be nice if somebody has, like, a proper trade for me, if they, you know, were not clever enough to, when they book their ticket, also select their seats, because that's been an option since like the 80s, I think, when you can select what seat you sit in. So if you're traveling with your husband or wife, you can always select two seats together. Or, you know, then you rely on people that will move for you. And I don't move. I have full on claustrophobia when I sit by the window. And I get up often to go to the bathroom just because, you know, you got to brush your teeth. You got to spray some water on your face. You got to piddle. You know, I drink a lot of water. So I just need to be able to get up and down at my own leisure. And this girl, she was sitting in the row behind me. And her husband was sitting next to me in the window. I'd pre-selected an aisle because that's what I require. I'm very simple, but I need an aisle seat. And so she asked me when she's getting on the plane, she's like, I'm so sorry to disturb you, but I want to sit there. She wasn't nice about it. She was like, I need your seat. And I said, well, where are you sitting? And she said, oh, I'm a row behind you. And I said, and there was already a man in the aisle. And I said, oh, in that window seat? She said, yeah, that's my seat. I want to sit next to my husband. I'm so sorry, but I'm claustrophobic. I can't sit in the window. So then she gives me one of these. Ugh. And then she goes to her row. She didn't even ask the dude that she was sitting next to possibly switch seats with her husband. She just ended it. And then she spent the whole flight just staring daggers through the seats at me and making a big thing of every, you know, 20 minutes standing up and leaning over her husband's seat in front of her.
Oh, my goodness.
To have a full conversation and annoy me. But little do I care. I mean, I've got my sound cancelers on. But I felt kind of bad because I get it. Husband and wife, they should be able to sit next to each other. But I also knew I had to work and be at my best, and I wasn't going to forego my aisle seat. But also, like, there's a thing of, I know this is a long-winded story, and I'll cut it short here. But, like, sometimes you also need a break from your spouse. And
no,
maybe I was doing them a solid.
No, like, I like sitting next to Todd.
I mean, the dude seemed happy, though. Well, I mean, you're also a girl. So I'm talking from a man's perspective.
Todd
now
likes sitting next to me.
Okay, great. I'm sure he does. But still, there's a certain point, you know, in my experience and talking to my dad, where you just need a little break. So the guy, he sat down. He had no issue with me not giving up the seat to his wife. He put his earphones on. He started watching his, you know, shoot 'em up movie with, you know, the action. I was looking over to see how much he was enjoying himself. He ate his meal, wiped it up with, you know, the bread, and then ate the bread. He started farting into his seat. I mean, it was just a whole, you know, I could see that he was pleased
that
to not have to sit and talk to his wife the whole
flight.
See,
the key to doing is not just to doing the seat swap. It's not just to ask. It's more like I always go in if I feel like it's going to be a hard sell, and I'll be like, I'm a nervous flyer. And you leave it just sort of out there that they don't really know. You don't elaborate. So they don't really know what that means. Like, does that mean I'm going to start crying? Does that mean I'm going to need their help?
You're going to sit in their lap.
Yeah. Do I need something from you? So that always helps because you get that stunned look of like, oh, she's special. So
why isn't she wearing a helmet?
I'll give up my seat. So anyway, that was...
It was kind of mean of me, guys, and I get that, so don't write us any, like, terrible emails. Like, I get that it was kind of mean, but also maybe I did a mitzvah for this couple, and maybe they, like, really enjoyed their trip to Denver afterward because I didn't let them sit next to each other on the plane.
Oh, God. Well, maybe you did. Let me tell you, though, real on that note.
Well, before we take a break.
Oh, are we taking a break already?
Yeah, I mean, you've got 2 minutes, yeah.
It's happening? Okay. it's happening. Today is going by very quickly, guys. So when I
don't
was
cry.
In Denver... I stopped at McDonald's before we went to the studio. And
you and the fast food and the French fries lately. Are you sure
Ava
isn't in there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Okay. See, like, I feel like when I go to fast food places sometimes, I don't always just, it's not like I'm ordering burgers and whatever. Like, fries are probably not the best for you, but they're not the worst for you on that McDonald's menu. So I get the salad. I got a salad and I got a side of fries and then I got a chocolate milkshake. Yeah. But so I go in, there's one other guy, kind of looking at the menu, whatever. So I go up, I order my thing, and then he orders, and then we're waiting, and then my milkshake comes out, and I forgot to tell them no whipped cream because I don't like whipped cream on my milkshake.
Why though?
I don't know. Like, I just want the chocolate. I don't want the whipped cream. It's a lot. It just seems like too much. Don't
you
mix
could put
that.
Whipped cream on a boot and I would eat it.
Yeah, no, I don't want it. So I said, oh my God, guys, you're going to kill me. Is there any way that you can just remake me one without whipped cream? And he's like, okay. And so the guy behind the counter goes to grab it back. And this other guy swoops in and puts his hand on the bottom of the milkshake. So they're both holding the milkshake at this point, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is going down? And the guy's like, I'll take it. And so the guy working there was like, well, it's $2 if you want it. And the guy's like, okay. And so then he took the milkshake and starts walking to the cashier and he's like looking through his wallet and he's not finding $2.
Meanwhile, he already licked it.
So he's not finding, but he was like, he was so after this milkshake that I was like, I felt bad. So I was like, I'll pay for it. So I just said, you know what? I'll take care of it. And I went to walk back and he walks by me and not, you know, I wasn't even looking for a thank you, maybe a head nod. He pats me on the back and is like, yeah, you do that. And I was like, what?
What?
I was like, yeah, you do that. I was like, okay. Then I was like, Tara, just forget about it. You tried to do a good deed.
Well, you were by yourself too.
Right. So I then.
You can't get into a tussle with a mountain man.
Right. So I then wait and I'm getting my, I see my bag coming out. So I go to get my bag. The guy swoops in again, okay? And the guy behind the counter is like, oh, no, that's not yours. Like, you know, yours is coming up. And he swoops, doesn't care, swoops in, puts his head inside my bag. And is like, is there a fish fillet in there? And I was like, what? I don't know how I forgot to tell you this when I saw you this past weekend. But, like, is there a, he was, like, in my bag looking for a fish fillet. Like, it was the oddest
after he'd been told.
Fish fillet in there? I was like, no.
Maybe he was on Adderall or something.
I have no idea, but I was like, all right, get me out of this McDonald's.
You know what? It gets so disappointing sometimes when you meet people that do not have decorum or proper manners to do things.
Yeah, you do
between
that.
My girl basically just being rude about me moving a seat that I'd hand selected, or you and your guy looking for a fish fillet.
Right.
It's so disappointing. I mean,
And also, why? I just have a question. Like, why did he think out of all the options and possibilities that there'd be a fish fillet in my bag? And why?
And why would he pat you on the back and say, yeah, you do that?
I have no idea.
I mean,
I was dumbfounded.
Like, it is not your place to pay for this guy's milkshake.
No. Anyways.
He was entitled enough to say it was. Anyways, people can be disappointing. Guys, we'll be right back.
CTV is back.
Sorry I'm late, but I got here as soon as I wanted to.
Will Grace is fantastic and better than ever.
You don't need makeup.
I told him I was 25.
Work from the neck up and keep the lights low.
They're at the top of their game and absolutely killing it.
I need to withdraw from the gay TM. I know. Thank God I'm cute.
Will and Grace, new this Thursday on NBC and catch up on demand.
Okay, so we're back at it, Johnny Weir.
Yes,
what are we going to talk about in this last segment?
Well, I feel like there is so little but so much to discuss. Just to start things off on the right foot, guys, it's that time of year again when the Christmas trees around the country are going to be lit with care.
Okay, and I'm gonna announce it, okay?
Okay, okay. December 1st, 6 p.m., Tara.
Queen of Bryant Park.
Da, 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 da. Yes, I will once again becoming the Queen of Bryant Park, and I will be performing in Bryant Park, New York City on the 1st of December at 6 p.m. to light the big old tree.
So if we have new listeners that did not go back and listen from the top, which you should.
Which is an idiotic mistake to make because these are all genius. We're award winning.
So the Queen of Bryant Park, we brought into play last year at this time because Johnny was doing a lot of appearances and performances at Bryant Park. And
winter ambassador to Bryant Park is what I was.
Right.
But we started calling it the Queen because it's a lot shorter than my full title. So Her Royal Highness, the Queen of Bryant Park, is back. The bitch is back, y'all.
Bow down.
But anyway, that's happening and we have to start with that. But after that, I mean, this week, guys, we are performing one of our favorite yearly gigs.
The dog show.
Yep, the National Dog Show from Oaks, Pennsylvania. They say it's from Philadelphia, but it's not. It's out in Oaks. And it's one of the things we look forward to the most.
We really do enjoy the dog show. I wonder what we'll get into this year. We always have these fun little bits that we'll do because we're backstage and we get to interact with the owners and the dogs. And of course, they always put me with like the giant pony of a dog, and that like pulls me away. And we have to do 16 takes because I'm running down the hall still,
or being dragged, really.
Yeah, trying to get my lines out. I'm
we
excited.
We may have to choose new dogs this year. So when we do our stand-ups for the dog show. So we can't commentate on the dog show just because we aren't dog experts. We don't know much about.
To be honest, I mean, study that.
I would study that too, but we don't know about gates or, you know, proper, all those crazy breeds like that hairless one from Mexico that looks like, you know, that skin looks like testicles.
Oh.
You know, freshly shaved ones. But anyway, it's just like a weird feeling dog. Or you've got, you know, what makes a standard poodle different from a toy poodle, mm-hmm. and why their stances have to be different. It's just all very complicated. Yeah. I'd love to commentate on it in a funny way.
Yeah.
Perhaps. But people don't like that when you kind of make their sport look funny. Okay. So we're really excited about the dog show. Honey, for this year, I think I might change it up a little bit, and I might go with, instead of doing the stand-ups with a Japanese chin, I might go with a Borzoi. Maybe this year I'll have the big dog and you'll have a little
one. Yeah, I'll take a little one for once. Thank goodness.
Yeah. But it's, what's funny is that we have to be allowed to use the dogs because the owners and the breeders of these dogs are really particular about, you know, the atmosphere of their dogs. So if they don't want us near it, we can't go near it.
I mean, guys, it's an intense environment. It's not at all. There's no smiles, really. Like when you're back there and they're grooming and they're getting ready, you can feel the tension in the air.
Yeah. I mean, there's always a couple gay dudes back there that show the dogs and they're always excited to see us. So
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
They love ice skating and sparkles, and that's what we usually bring.
We do. I wanted to ask you a question, though. Have you been watching Stranger Things?
Yes. So here's the thing. Last week on podcast, we talked about Stranger Things a little bit, and I had not started watching it simply because I enjoy a child, but, you know, to sit for hours and binge watch something with children actors as the leads of a show, it's not really my thing. They're not going to curse. They're not going to get into some hijinks that really make me think or feel something just because they're kids. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, I don't ride a bike.
But it's such a fun throwback, right?
Okay, so it's a fun throwback. I started watching it just to see what it is. It's a terrifying program. The kids are great. I enjoy each of their little personalities, except the one that's always against things. I don't know his name, but he's always like, don't talk to Elle because, you know, she's a weirdo. Don't like that kid because he's just real rude about everything. And he's never right. He always makes the wrong decision and is so irate about it. But Winona Ryder, I got through the whole first season, guys. Winona Ryder freaks me out.
The second season is even better, in my opinion. I literally, we binge watched the entire second season on this Sunday.
Oh, good. Yeah. I mean, I spent a great deal of my work hangover on Saturday just trying to make it to a proper bedtime. I started watching it and then watched yesterday several episodes. So now I'm on season two. I have to watch episode two. That's where how far I am. But Winona Ryder was terrifying in season one.
Yeah. I mean, she was stressed.
She's so stressed. I mean, I get it. Like, they fake. Oh, I can't actually give anything away. So your kid's missing and you're trying to find him. And then, you know, all this craziness ensues. Guys, actually, I do suggest watching it.
It's good.
But last week, the main women in my life, Tara Lipinski and Jackie Voronov, my bestie, you both suggested to me that I watch Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to because both of you said it in the
pressure.
Same week. Yeah, it's the pressure. I mean, I may be gay and I may
wife,
never marry
life.
A woman, but I still believe in having happy wives.
Yes.
Full polygamy over
here. I mean, to be honest, when it first, like my opinion of it for the first couple episodes of season one, I wasn't like so into it. I was like, it's okay. Like, I'm not a big sci-fi person. And like, I don't know. It was like, eh. And then you like grow to love these characters and then you're hooked. And then season two was like much better in my opinion. And then I really got into like the throwback of it. And like, I don't know, it's in the 80s and it's, I mean, I feel like I was born in the 80s. So maybe the 90s would be even more interesting to me because as a kid, I would really remember things. But there's so many things you see or remember and you're like, oh my God, you know, That was my life.
I mean, those kids talked on walkie-talkies in Stranger Things. And I mean, when did you get your first cell phone?
I think I got, let's see. I had a pager first, you know. I had a pager.
Call your mother.
1-1-1-1-1. And then, I don't know, maybe 15? I don't know.
Yeah, I was trying to remember that watching just because they talk on these walkie-talkies that, you know, don't always have good reception. And I think my parents got me sort of one of those giant Nokia phones that are pay-as-you-go.
I was in
high school. It was yellow and it was pay-as-you-go. So I was always afraid to use it just in case I went over and something actually happened. But they got it for me when our school started to get like heaps of bomb threats.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know it's bad news bears, but it never happened, thank God. At Newark High School. But I always had that phone, and it was just the weirdest thing to think back on how big it was.
Yeah.
You couldn't text anything.
They were huge. Oh my God. It's so funny to look back at things like that. I mean, like, I had a pager, Johnny. Like, why?
And I never
put
had
little,
a pager.
Like, is it Sanrio? Sanrio?
Kitty.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved the frog from that, and then like
Karopi.
Yeah, Karopi and the hedgehog. Do you remember the hedgehog?
I don't remember the hedgehog's name, but I remember their hedgehog.
Yeah, and I would have all those stickers all over it. It's so funny to think back. How did I get so old? Speaking of Sunday, I also, all we did was just lay on the couch and watch the entire season 2 of Stranger Things. And I just want to share with you a disappointing moment in my marriage.
Okay. What did he do?
No, not him. It was me this time. And you know, I can't cook, Johnny. We know this. It's a fact. I just am not the best at it. Todd knows this. He doesn't expect much at all. Actually, he doesn't expect anything.
Well, he's a picky eater anyway. He only likes chicken.
Right.
And wild boar.
But you would think that that would be easy for me, right? Like if he only likes chicken, maybe there's once in a while I want to cook him a meal where it's chicken and I put out a good thing. But every time I do, you know, the side, you know, is mashed potatoes and I mess it up and it's weird looking. There's always something that I just can't do and I burn everything or I always forget about it. Like there's always a problem with my cooking. So we ordered from this place called Bagel Nosh, which is my favorite. If you guys are in Santa Monica, you got to go to Bagel Nosh. It's like good New York bagels every day, all day, Bagel Nosh. So I ordered Bagel Nosh and I got him like a ham sandwich, whatever, and I got my stuff. And it comes and I'm like, you know what, Todd, stay here. I'm going to put it together because that's my making a meal is like
presentation.
Right. Putting it on the bringing it out on a tray, like feeling like I'm doing something very like I am a domestic wife.
You put your apron on.
So I went out and I was like, I showed him his thing. He's like, oh, no, like. I thought it was going to be like a melted ham and cheese thing. And I was like, oh, I got this. Like, even better. Like, I get to add to the presentation by fixing the meal. So, you know, I put the ham on the pan and I, like, started frying it. And it was, like, looking really good. And then I put the cheese on and, like, the top side was, like, perfect. I did the perfect heat. Then I flip it over and I put the thing on top of it. And then I'm like, oh, that smell, that's not good. I must have, like, had it on too high or something. And, like, charred. The entire bottom of the toast was completely charred. I was so disappointed. Like, it affected my morning. Like, I was so disappointed. Like, I can't even put an already pre-made sandwich
You can't even heat anything up.
And he was so sweet. He knew I was, like, upset by it. And he's like, oh, my God, this is amazing. He's like, oh, my God, it looks so, like he was, like, going over the top about how good it was. And, like, he's like, I don't even see words. I'm like, you don't see where it's like the bottom half of your sandwich is black.
It looks like a crime
it's
scene.
Crumbling
Todd Kapp.
When you pick it up, like the little black crumbles are coming off. Like how do you not see? And it smells like a burnt piece of
arson.
Toast
anyone?
Right now, like, are you kidding me? So, but he was really sweet. He ate it. He said how great it was. Made me feel better. But still, like I have trouble cooking, which leads me to why HelloFresh is literally the only thing.
That I can do.
And I was having this interview yesterday for Food and Wine. They're doing like a small, they do this like fun little column. And they asked me to do it. So I'm like, sure. And I realized as I was talking and they're asking me like my specialty meals, like I don't know if we should tell HelloFresh, but I told them that it was like all the HelloFresh recipes because that's like all I know how to do. Like before that, it would be like, I don't know, Food and Wine. Like I scramble some eggs and salt and pepper it. Like,
and I'm great at drinking wine.
So I was like, no, you know, this butternut squash, blah, blah, blah. And like I walked away. I was like, okay, those are all HelloFresh recipes.
Well, I mean, I think the thing with HelloFresh and the holidays is that it makes things so easy. So the hustle and bustle, running from place to place, it can be really overwhelming and take your time. And you don't always want to spend that time that you could be with family and friends or at a little party or soiree. You don't want to waste time going to the grocery store. And HelloFresh is something that me and my family have gotten into. And it just helps us save time every week, especially now that all of those parties and running to shop or running to get the perfect gift for this person or that person. HelloFresh makes it so that dinner arrives at your door and all you have to do is throw it into a pan. And it makes it easy.
Since we did that first meal, Johnny, I've been hooked. I mean, the best part of it is they have the simple recipes sort of outlined and you have this step-by-step instruction.
Like you can't make mistakes.
You cannot make a mistake. You cannot burn this. They tell you the exact heat to put it on. Like everything is so precise and specific. Like for someone like me, I'm like in the kitchen like, oh yeah, I'm confident. I'm a cook.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the holidays, I mean, the HelloFresh includes recipe cards with 6 easy steps to calm the holiday chaos. And you have to make fewer trips to the grocery store and less time in the kitchens means more time for your family and festivities, which is pretty awesome. I mean, Thanksgiving is upon us.
It's
is it
here.
Not?
It's happening. The recipe that I want to try for Todd, because as you said, he loves chicken. And supposedly this is like one of their more well-known famous recipes. It's the thyme gravy chicken with roasted carrots and cacio e pepe potatoes. And I love cacio e pepe. Like that is my jam when it comes to pasta. So I'm like, what are they doing with the potatoes? Like, obviously it's the sauce, which is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try that.
Yeah. I think I'm all in for the pan-seared scallops with heirloom tomatoes, mashed potatoes, and Meyer lemon. Just sounds really refreshing and nice for this time of year, especially now that we've got the cold on the East Coast. I need a little, you know, well, something fresh and nice.
Okay, guys. So you can see that we're pretty big fans of HelloFresh because we use it. And now it's the only thing I can cook, so we cook with it. And it's pretty awesome, and we want you guys to try it out. So we have an offer for you. It's $30 off your first week of HelloFresh. So visit HelloFresh.com, HelloFresh.com, and put in our promo code, which is, what is it, Jay?
TJ30, and that's $30 off your first order. And it's so easy, guys. It comes right to your door. You can't make a mistake. It's awesome. Try it. And we're super thankful for HelloFresh and their support of Tara and Johnny, the podcast, award-winning podcast at this point. So, I mean, I feel like this is a nice place to get into Fan Corner.
Okay, give it to us. What do we have this week?
I mean, we've got some fun ones. So, at Loft9Girl wrote to us on Twitter, and she wants the backstory of the Bronze, which is something that we
can't
have
share.
Sort of interjected in a lot of our podcasts since the beginning of the podcast. And let's give them a little backstory. We can't actually give you the full story because it would complicate our lives. But
Are we giving it away? No.
No, we're not going to say too much, but we'll tell you that it is a nickname for somebody. And it's somebody that we have a nickname for so that we can discuss them without them knowing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, these nicknames don't necessarily
match up with what you think.
Yeah. So it's not always the person you think it would be. But because Tara and I don't share the ability to speak the same foreign language until after the holidays when Tara gets a Russian Rosetta Stone from me, you know, we have to go with code words and code names for certain things because there's always a microphone or a camera around us when we're together for some reason. And if things live in perpetuity, it won't always be good because sometimes we do give a little, you know, Gossip Girl side shade. And and we're allowed. We're entitled to that.
We are.
But the Bronze is basically a nickname for somebody that we needed a nickname to talk about them. And there are lots of them. So,
Johnny, what do you want for Christmas?
I honestly want nothing.
Stop.
Nothing for Christmas.
Well, you know I like to give Christmas gifts, so tell me what
I know.
You want.
You know, just I'm always happy with a little figurine that's made of porcelain or some, you know, even if you carve it out of obsidian or some sort of coal.
Okay.
I'd be perfectly happy with a Coal elephant, coal, cold polar bear. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it gets so hard. I feel bad for my friends and family just because if I want something, I will buy it. I will save up and I will buy it. I don't care how big or small. So usually, like my mom especially, she still loves Christmas and loves, you know, spoiling my brother and I. So she'll go and she'll figure things out for my brother, but she asks me, hey, Johnny, what do you want? So I give her things like, oh, I need a new Swiffer or... I really need one of those little special pairs of scissors that cut the wicks of candles. I need one of those. I need a snuffer. So things like that I love because I forget to buy them. Socks. Socks are always a big thing because I'm not going to make a special trip to buy socks. So
I'm not getting you socks.
You don't have to get me socks. But, you know, you just something little. I mean, I know you love me and you know I love you. You don't have to show me with like a... You know, you don't have to buy me some sort of a hedge or, you know, swimming pool or jacuzzi to go out back or anything like that. It's just, you know, just a small treat, just a little thing that I wouldn't buy myself, I suppose. Okay. But I buy everything for myself. So good luck.
Good luck.
I'll figure something out for you, something tasteful and lovely. I'm not even going to ask you what you want because I don't care. You're going to get what mommy gets you.
You're going to be grateful.
Yep, you're going to be grateful for anything you get. Do you like little clips with poodles on them? Because that's what you're getting. Don't you love those little hair clips with the poodles,
I
plastic
do.
Ones?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God. We should bring those back.
We
guys,
really
you heard
should.
It here first. My Olympic look is going to be lots of weave via Mariola Zisk and poodle clips is what I'm all in for.
All right. So tell us about Fan Corner.
Okay. Fan Corner. So more about Fan Corner. I forgot where we were. Getting delirious again. At July143. Asked us on Twitter what earphones we use when we travel, because apparently she has trouble finding earbuds that actually fit her ear.
I mean, I understand that. Some of the times, like, the ones that go in, like, hurt, and especially if they're, like, the hard ones.
Yeah,
I don't
if
like
you
it.
Have to wear them for too long, because if you have a six-hour flight, right?
I have good ones because I have the seven, you don't have, like, the old plug-in, so you have to put it in where the charger is. So there was, like, ones I found in the airport at JFK that... are super comfy, and I don't know what they are. Actually, I have them in my bag. Let me look.
Yeah, let's look. I use big... I don't like the little ones that are convenient to put in your bag because I always have a huge bag, and these things always fit. But I love... they're by Friends, Frendz, and they do not sponsor the podcast, guys, so don't think I'm sending you on a wild goose chase. But they are awesome because they're white and gold, which are my colors. But instead of being huge, I mean, I had a pair of Beats by Dre, the huge ones, sound cancelers. But they were so big and they required a big case. And I'm not that guy that's going to like clip it to the outside of my book bag to be like, hey, look, I've got Beats by Dre earphones. So these Friends ones, they actually fold in half and you can make them quite small. So they're really convenient.
Mine is
but I've used those for years.
JBL. That's all I got. I don't really JBL. Have a specific model number to give you because it's just coming out of my handbag right now.
But are they like big earmuff ones or are they little?
No, they're buds. But the greatest thing is like it's all gushy and there's like two parts of the earbud. So it's not just like the earbud that goes in. There's like this little like, you know, rubbery thing that goes up your ear as well to get, I guess, hold it in place and maybe make it more comfortable.
Yeah, I get nervous with putting things in your ear personally just because I've had inner ear issues.
Yeah.
And, you know, my ear, nose, and throat guy, he told me you should never put anything smaller than an elbow in your ear. And that's terrified me now because earbuds are by far smaller than your elbow. but, yeah, you should. He said, do not put anything smaller than an elbow. And well, you know what, Johnny, unless you want something stuck in there. Oh, do you want vertigo again? You're going to knock your crystals out of place if you go in there with a Q-tip too deep. So, yeah, I use like Kleenex on my
I've
fingers.
Because I've heard that too, that you're not, like the Q-tip thing isn't good.
Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't get in there too far with a Q-tip because you're going to stab something that doesn't need stabbing. Mm. And you can't see. I mean, do you know what your inner ear canal looks
definitely
like and how it
don't.
All works?
Don't.
I don't.
I don't. So
I just put, you know, some Kleenex on my elbow and then I put my elbow in my ear to dry my ears out after I shower. But no, nothing too small to fit in here. If you're smaller than an elbow, you're not going anywhere near my ear hole. But anyway, moving on. Our last entry is from AC Bitter on Twitter. And AC Bitter says, just send us a bravo for doing live show at 3 a.m. while everyone was asleep over the weekend of our coverage of the NHK trophy for Olympic Channel and NBC, which I thought was super sweet.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know. We were asking the whole time we were on broadcast, like, who's waking up at 3 a.m.
to
watch this?
Yeah, if anyone actually watched it, will you, like, tweet or Instagram at us so we know that you there was at least one person tuning in?
Tara assumed there were, how many households did you say? Eight households. I thought, you know, maybe like 5,000.
Are you at 2:30, 4 in the morning, at 4:15 a.m. on a Saturday night?
Well, it was midnight
in
California.
5,000 people.
It was Friday night. I'll bet, you know what? I'll bet there were some people. I can't wait to see these numbers. But if you listen to us.
Yeah, let us know. Let's see who wins.
We didn't even do it on camera because they knew we were going to look so toe up. We didn't do it on camera, like, welcome to the show.
Yeah, they
kept us behind the mic. They said, no. You guys, you look a little ragged.
They looked at us and, like, passed.
Yeah, no, sorry. No one wants to see that. But, you know, with that said, this weekend's coverage of the Grand Prix France is going to be on the 19th of November, which is Sunday, and it's going to be on NBCSN at 10:30 at night. They're really just, you know, sprinkling us over a lot of the NBC networks just so that we get everyone warmed up for the Olympics in February. That's 10:30 p.m. on Sunday on the 19th of November on NBCSN, and it's the Grand Prix France.
Grand Prix.
Grand Prix. So, yeah, we're really excited to bring you that coverage. coverage. Sorry, I started reading and my voice trailed off. We're really excited to bring you guys that coverage. But yeah, I think that's everything we've got for you guys this week.
That's it.
Yeah. But as always, we're thankful to the 2.6 quadrillion of you that do listen to Tara and Johnny, the podcast, the award-winning podcast. And you can hang out with us on our social media at all hours of every day at Tara Lipinski, at Johnny G. Weir, and at Tara and Johnny across all our platforms.
Yeah, we need people to start following Tara and Johnny.
Yeah, there aren't enough. Make your friends follow Tara and Johnny. I know right now that we haven't had a lot of content.
Let us know how you're doing on that.
Yeah, I mean, we post a lot of our promos for this podcast, and we'll post a throwback every once in a while or pictures of the skaters
we're
going
to
be covering
for
the week.
You know what? If people are going to follow us, Johnny, let's get back on our Instagram a bit. Sometimes it's hard when we're apart. When we're together,
we have a
guys,
lot of time coming up. We're together.
We have some great content we put out. Silly waste of your time content. But nevertheless, you should be, you know, following and maybe we'll do a better job when we're apart.
Well, you know what? We don't have faces for radio. We want you to be able to see us at some point so we can actually be friends. If this is just sort of us behind the microphone talking at you while you're driving, that doesn't interest us. We want a full visceral experience. We want you to see, hear, and smell us. We'll figure out how you can smell us eventually. Hashtag duty free. Tara and Johnny, the scent. But it would basically just smell like goldfish and baby powder. That's how we smell most of the time.
It's not bad. People like that baby scent.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I walk through the airport in Denver, and you know me, when I'm tired, I definitely over perfume myself because I prefer that over what I probably actually smell like, which is a big dirty man. And there were comments about how over fragranced I was behind me, but I wasn't going to admit that it was me. Anyway, guys, we're going off in a weird tangent,
we
should end this. But we love you so much, and until next time,
bye.
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.